Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Endless Roundabout by Papalu. This happened in Bucharest in the mid-2000s. It's my go-to weird glitch-in-the-matrix story that I just can't explain. It's 11 p.m. on a Friday. I'm driving home, and I get a call from my best friend. It's someone else on the line telling me that my friend is extremely drunk, acting like an idiot in a bar, and is asking if it's possible that I come and get him, as people are now calling the cops, and he doesn't want to leave. I go to the town center. I see my buddy with three of his university buddies outside the bar, and they're completely wasted. There's a police car parked in front of me, but it's a traffic police, so the cops are just watching me collect these messes and struggle to get them into the car. One of them throws up on the sidewalk. I'm now stressed out. Earlier that day, I had already gotten a ticket. I made a small mistake in a roundabout during rush hour. Now I'm being specific, as this place will come up later. The cop decided to make an example out of me, and it really scared me. So I managed to get them in the car, and the moment I start the car, the cops block me, and they check me for alcohol. They make me blow in the tester, they check my papers, all that stuff, and one of the cops is really trying to give me a ticket for anything. He's now saying I'm not supposed to be on this specific road or something like that. It's complete crap. He just wants to burn me. But the other cop comes and tells him to let me go because I had already gotten a traffic ticket that day and apparently they couldn't give me two tickets for minor traffic violations in 24 hours. I guess this is a rule I've never heard of before or since then. This was weird. But not glitch in the matrix stuff just yet. Anyway, I drove them to the opposite part of town where they lived in the student complex. No more accidents. It's now about 12:15 a.m. and I'm driving home. I get to a central point in the city. It's a huge square that's a roundabout from which every main boulevard of the city starts. So each exit from this square or roundabout is a huge six-lane boulevard, and each boulevard takes you to a different neighborhood. Also, each of those boulevards are very unique looking and very well marked. So it's almost impossible for someone who lives in this city to take the wrong exit in this place. It's now 12:30 a.m. and it's completely empty. Zero traffic or anything that would distract me from taking the wrong exit. Well, I enter the roundabout. I see my exit and I take it, like I've previously done hundreds of times. I get on the boulevard, but I immediately know this isn't my boulevard. It's a completely different one that takes me in a very wrong direction. The only option I have is to turn around to the square. I say, okay, that's weird, but whatever. I've had a long day. I was in university. I also worked. I had the two police encounters, both very stressful, almost two tickets, and the whole commotion with the drunk friends. So I turn around, go back into the roundabout, drive until my exit again, take my exit, and I'm on this other boulevard again. The same thing as the first time. I say, okay, I'm really dumb for doing this. I need to focus now. I turn around, get into the roundabout, drive until my exit, take the exit, and I'm focused on all of the details. But it turns out, I'm on the other boulevard again. Now I start to get annoyed at myself. I begin screaming in the car out of frustration. I turn around, get back into the roundabout, drive slowly, and I get to my exit very slowly. I take my exit, very focused, and I'm on the other boulevard again. This is beginning to really scare me. I spend 2 hours there doing this same thing, and I haven't seen one person or one car in that time, which is another strange thing. I don't believe that there's ever been 2 hours in that place without a car passing. This is literally the epicenter of traffic in a city with 2 million people. I was having a breakdown. I was almost crying from anger by the end of it, screaming my lungs out every time it happened. And then finally, I got my exit, and I found myself on my street. In 5 minutes, I was home, and the clock said 2:40 a.m. I just simply cannot explain it. I had a phone, but it was late, and I was very angry, and I really didn't know how to explain to someone that I was stuck in a roundabout, or what was happening at all. I would have sounded like I was on drugs, or I was having some kind of psychotic episode, and I didn't want to make a bigger deal out of it. Plus, it seemed like such a stupid problem to have. I just couldn't express it or explain it. And honestly, I still can't. Thank you for reading. All the best.
Punk Rock Ghost by L. This happened in 2014. My ex-boyfriend and I were driving my car, packed with everything I owned, from California to Texas. We had been on the road most of the day, and as we started getting tired, we called my mom and asked her to find us a hotel about 30 miles ahead. She made us a reservation to make sure there'd be a room available, since we'd be arriving just after midnight. The hotel was in the middle of what felt like nowhere in New Mexico. My mom had mentioned it was newly built, and sure enough, it smelt like fresh paint in the lobby. Even though it was late and it made sense that no one was around at that hour, it still felt eerily empty and quiet. It even took us a while to find the front desk attendant. He eventually checked us in, and we moved the car in front of the room window before calling it a night. Now, I know what some people might be thinking, that we were just tired from driving all day, possibly stressed from moving, and maybe more susceptible to imagining things. But with all my heart and logic, I don't think that's what happened. We went to bed quickly, planning to wake up early and continue the drive. I remember falling into a deep sleep and having a stressful dream. Something about strange men trying to take my possessions from the car. Given the situation, it felt like a pretty normal stress dream. But suddenly, I jolted awake with a gasp, feeling like the blanket had been yanked off of me from the foot of the bed, like a strong whoosh. I was scared and panicked from waking up so abruptly. As I fumbled to find the alarm clock to check the time, my eyes passed over the small hotel kitchenette. I rubbed my eyes, just like they do in the movies, to make sure I was really seeing what I thought I was seeing, and I couldn't believe it. There was this punk rocker-looking guy in the room. Big mohawk, tattoos, jean jacket with patches, big boots, smoking a cigarette. He was sitting on the couch at first, then got up and started pacing back and forth, casually taking drags off of his cigarette. He didn't seem to notice me, which I was relieved about. I started nudging my ex, who was still deep asleep beside me. When that didn't work, I started hitting him harder and harder to wake him up. Eventually, he stirred, and I whispered that I was scared and asked him to turn on the light. As soon as he did, the punk rocker was gone. He asked if I was okay. I just said, "I think I saw something." He didn't say anything. He just pulled me close while I tried to brush it off. Eventually, we both went back to sleep. The next morning, I swear, the room still smelled faintly of cigarettes. Neither of us were big morning people, so we didn't talk much about it until we hit the road. Then I started to tell him about my weird dream, how weird it felt. The guys trying to break into the car, being suddenly awoken, and the punk rocker in the room. That's when he told me he'd had almost the exact same dream, same scenario, same strange men, same feeling of fear and dread. He said he even felt paralyzed when I was trying to wake him up, like something was holding him down. It was weird. This guy usually dreamed about being a superhero or a basketball star. He never had nightmares like that. Even though he didn't see the mohawked man, the fact that we had the same dream at the same time shook me. I've always wondered if the hotel was built on the spot where that punk rocker died, and whether he was somehow connected to the dream figures. Maybe there really were strange men outside our car in real life. The ghost didn't seem evil, just lost. And to this day, I still feel a strange sense of sadness and curiosity about who he was, how he died and who he might have been, and what he might have been trying to find as he paced back and forth, smoking his cigarette.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
My Last Visit to Hocking Hills by Flacco Fabulous. I was down in Conkle's Hollow after sunset in September. My son and I sent the wife and girls back to the cabin so we could stay a little more. It was pure dusk. We're on top of the ridge. I pick up a rock and I knock three times on a big, hollowed-out tree near the ridge. This is the place where the rocks jut out, and you wonder how gravity hasn't taken them yet. It's about halfway in. We stay quiet for about 20 seconds, and we hear the loudest sound, which is unmistakably the thumping of wood on wood. It's louder than I've ever experienced. This was tree-on-tree thuds that had a reverberating bass effect that you could actually feel in your chest. Someone is also out there, disobeying the park rules and messing with us. Well, 1 minute later, my boy and I start whooping. We do this for maybe 15 seconds in total. Then there's silence for a minute, and then a crash that made us jump out of our skin, like something threw a massive boulder through the trees just below us. I'm now paralyzed. My young boy is shaking and grabbing my leg. We can't move. We start to make our way out before it's pitch black down there. I do my whistle in a series of 3 seconds, pause, 5 seconds, pause, and 5 more seconds. And then we hear this non-human, animal-sounding roar that rips through everything. I can only describe it as what it must be like if a polar bear gets on top of you and rattles your insides before it eats you alive. We break out into a full sprint, nearly tripping to get back to the lot. I'm going to take recording equipment. All we had was a flashlight. I'm completely convinced this was Bigfoot. That wasn't some wild dog or deer. Hocking Hills in Ohio is a serious hotspot.
Disappearing Diagnosis by B. I heard the story today of the man with the disappearing CHF diagnosis, and it inspired me to share my story. When I was in elementary school, about 7 or 8 years ago, I got a really bad bladder infection that made me very sick. My mom was very familiar with these and gave me over-the-counter medication and lots of cranberry juice. Over time, though, it worsened, and my mother decided to take me to the doctor. They had me give a urine sample and gave me some more medicine to help with the infection. When my results came in, my doctor called my mom and asked her to bring me in for an ultrasound on my bladder. We went to the appointment, and during the ultrasound, they found a mass inside my bladder the size of a golf ball. And after some further testing, it was discovered to actually be a tumor. I didn't understand what that meant at such a young age, but I could tell how worried my family was. I had a surgery scheduled to attempt to remove the tumor from my bladder. This was a rather serious surgery and could have various outcomes, though that wasn't explained to me until I was older. My mother, 2 older brothers, and I traveled to the city where my surgery was scheduled. My father, who lives several hours away in another state, and who had never been to my state to visit me since I moved, suddenly brought his wife and my little brother to the city of my surgery to be with me. He took me to dinner and bought me some toys, something he didn't often do. They all seemed a little worried all night, but were trying to hide it. I could start to tell this might be more serious than my young brain was comprehending. I spent the night with my father in his hotel along with my 2 older brothers. In the morning, my mother picked me and my brothers up to go to the hospital for my surgery. I got in the car and my mom had bought me the cutest stuffed dog. It comforted me, so I brought it in with me to keep me safe. Upon arrival, they got me into my surgery pajamas, which I was able to pick out myself. My mother was with me, holding my hand. They began the ultrasound and suddenly seemed puzzled. They showed my mom the screen, and she too seemed confused what was happening. I asked what was going on, and the nurse said, "The mass isn't there anymore." My mom asked how that was even possible, and they couldn't answer her. They said they had never seen anything like that happen. They had the doctor come in who was going to perform the surgery, and he too seemed blown away. The tumor was just gone. No explanation. They got me dressed back into my regular clothes and explained to me that I no longer needed surgery. I couldn't understand what was happening, and neither could anyone else, it seemed. They told my mom to keep an eye on me and see if my condition came back. It never did. I left that hospital and never had any more bladder pains or infections. To this day, I still can't comprehend what happened or how that just went away. I'm 25 now, and I still have my stuffed dog. I like to think he was just my lucky charm that day. Or perhaps when I went to bed that night, I shifted realities. Either way, I'm grateful for the outcome, and will never have to know what could have happened had I gotten the surgery.
The Humming Man and the Staring Lady by Wise Effect 7163. My boyfriend and I tend to walk our dogs late at night due to them being reactive. Tonight we walked them and left at around 12:45 a.m. Our route goes through a graveyard, and we walk around and then to a park. During walking in the graveyard, I tend to talk to the graves. But today I decided to read their names and simply say, "I hope you're resting well," which is a common thing, but I haven't taken the time to read them before. Nothing happened in the graveyard, so this really doesn't have any correlation, but I feel the need to mention it. It was about 20 minutes later when we were walking down a long, dead road, only lit by street lamps. It's now about 1:15 a.m. It's a Thursday night. Now, one of our dogs is reactive, as I said, but only to other dogs due to trauma from being attacked. But this time around, she reacted to a man. She started whining, getting stiff, pulling, and trying to bark at him, which she normally only ever does to other dogs. At first, we thought she had just seen a fox. But even then, her reaction like that due to a fox, it was just very strange. We carried on, but it's what happened next that made me question how these two encounters may have been correlated. We then walked past this man that our dog was reacting to. He was wearing a suit and humming. I saw what seemed to be a woman in baggy clothes walking in the distance towards us. 2 minutes later, we got to the park, which is fully gated with around a 6-foot barred fence. This is a place where we let the dogs off the leash to have a run. This woman walked directly past us, very close to this barred fence, and just stared at us. I never saw her features, but could very obviously tell that she was watching. This made me hesitate to let the dogs off. This happened at the bottom of a small field. In the end, she looked forward and carried on walking, so we carried on. My boyfriend and I started our way up the field towards the entrance. I was just talking to him about a dream I had when I was younger, when I looked at him and noticed the same woman in the corner of my eye now standing on the pavement outside the park, nose against the bars, just staring at us, not moving. I said quite obviously, "She's staring at us." My boyfriend then turned and saw her. He then said, quite loudly, "What the fuck?" As soon as he said this, she turned around fast and in this strange manner, walked away. We didn't see her again, but both of us were pretty freaked out at these colliding encounters. Very soon after, we headed home. I'm a spiritual person, and I feel in my heart that these two people weren't human. It could simply be a creepy coincidence, or a man from a fancy dress party and a woman tripping balls. I don't know, but what I do know is I'm really bothered by these events. Do you think that they were spirits minding their business? Curious or maybe a warning of some kind?
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Predictive Crazy Animal Dream by Meg. I have always been an extremely vivid dreamer. Some mornings I wake up feeling like I have a whole week's worth of new experiences that I went through. I've been getting better and better at lucid dreaming by using the technique where you look at your hands and can identify something that isn't quite right. Sometimes I have extra fingers. Sometimes I have a branching finger. One time I had tracers. The technique always works if I can remember to look at them. Once I figure out I'm in a lucid dream, I generally find a good place to take off and fly around. This, however, is not a lucid dream story, but a predictive one. One night, I dreamed of an incredibly strange creature. The best I can describe it was that its body and tail were similar in size and shape to a sloth, but it was covered in quills. I woke up wondering how my brain came up with this creature. I hadn't been watching any nature shows or weird cartoons or anything. I shrugged it off and left for work. I'm a veterinarian, and exotic animals do occasionally make their way through my office. But generally, it's all just cats and dogs. When I arrived, I walked through the treatment area. As I was passing through, I looked down and was absolutely awestruck. Undeniably, clear as day, I saw the exact same creature from my dream, sitting in a cage. I stopped dead in my tracks and stood with my mouth open, long enough for a passing technician to pause and say, "The porcupine? Oh yeah, he stinks pretty bad, huh?" It turns out there's a porcupine with a prehensile tail that lives in Central and South America, and for some reason it was now right in front of me. I had never seen or heard of such a thing. Now here I am dreaming about it, the night before I happened to see one in real life. If you guys or any of your listeners have any ideas about this, why it happened or how it happened, what it means, anything, I would love to hear your thoughts. I seriously cannot get over how strange this experience was.
The Sky Turned Pitch Black by Cass. My husband and I live in Georgia in the U.S., and today, at around 12:30 p.m., we were parked outside of a subway, and for a second, the world outside went pitch black. It was like the power went out for a second and turned back on. But it was all of outside, in the middle of the day. I noticed it and looked at my husband, who also noticed it, but he thought he was just blinking, However, it was the middle of the day. There were no planes in the sky or anything. There's nothing that I could think of that would cause this to happen. After it happened, I went on Google to try and find a scientific explanation for this, but I just couldn't. Instead, I looked on Reddit and I found a lot of posts from other people talking about this happening just a few years ago. I haven't seen anything recent, so I'm wondering if anyone else has experienced this. This has never happened to us before in our entire lives, and no one around us seemed to be acting different afterward. So I'm not sure if people in our area noticed anything. I called my mom and my cousin to see if they noticed anything, but they didn't. So I'm at a loss, and I don't really know what to think or how to make sense of it. Could it have been a meteor or an eclipse that covered the sun briefly? I still have no real idea what to think, and since no one in our area has experienced it, we're just going to have to deal with the fact that it happened, and we won't get a definitive explanation as to why or what it was. It is comforting to know that other people have seen this, though. I'm just going to think that we switched timelines to where we have a better life going forward. Like some sort of cosmic karmic reward, just for fun. If we ever happen to experience it again, or if we have children who experience it down the line, I'll update. But for now, we're just going to leave it be.
My Stories by IDK. I've had a few experiences, starting when I was around 4 years old. We lived in our old house, and I had this small walk-in closet that always felt off. It's hard to explain. I used to sit in there whenever I felt upset or overwhelmed, angry, sad, whatever, and just let it all out. So maybe over time it absorbed all that emotion. Whatever the case, it always had this heavy, negative energy. One night, sometime between 12 and 3 a.m., I woke up out of nowhere. As my eyes adjusted, I noticed the closet door was open, wide open. But I never left that door open before bed. I always kept it closed. I just stared, confused, until a hand reached out from the closet. It was pale, with long fingers and these disgusting, grime-covered nails. It didn't grab anything or move toward me. It just pulled the door shut, and that was it. Story number two. Same house, same weird time of night, maybe 12 to 3 a.m. Again, I woke up randomly, sat up in bed, and when I turned around, I saw four pale, almost translucent figures in my room. Two adults and two kids. The adults just stood there, silently staring at me. The kids were playing with my Hot Wheels cars, and I could hear the little clinks of the cars hitting the carpet. But they were watching me, too. I ran straight to my parents' room. I was only 4 or 5, and already a scaredy cat, and still am, so they didn't think anything of it. But the next morning, those Hot Wheels were on the floor, exactly where the kids had been playing with them. Story number three. Everything after this happened in the house we live in now. My mom's childhood home. Built in the 1970s, not super old, but definitely haunted. My mom knows it is, but she won't let me tell her anything about it. Her attitude is basically, if I don't acknowledge it, it won't get worse. I respect that. But me? I'm way too deep into this now. Every so often, we sage the house, just in case. Anyway, the first thing that happened here was in the laundry room. It has a clear view into the attic, and the vibes in that room are always bad. I was doing laundry, looked up, and saw that same hand again, reaching down from the attic. It looked like it was reaching for me. I dropped everything and got my brother to help finish the laundry. Story number 4. These are just some smaller experiences, but still creepy. There are at least 2 or 3 known spirits in our house. One shows up in mirrors or as a shadow in the corner of your eye. I've seen it behind me in the mirror more than once. Sometimes I get scratches I can't explain, out of nowhere. Things will go missing, I'll search everywhere, and then, boom, they show up right back where I looked. Sometimes, multiple times. I've been growled at from another room. We don't have a dog. Oh, in my bedroom, directly under the attic, where the negative spirit likes to hang out. But the worst moment, by far, happened in the laundry room again. I stooped over to grab something, and right behind me, I heard someone hiss my name, Emma, in this sharp, angry whisper. I felt the hair on my neck when it spoke, and it wasn't a voice I recognized. I know it wasn't a family member. My mom was the only other person home, and she was outside. On another occasion, I heard the same voice call my name, but it sounded like my mom, except it wasn't her. I don't know what this thing is. A spirit? Something worse? A flesh pedestrian? Whatever it is, I want it gone. It's been dormant for the past 6 months. Nothing new has happened. But every time I'm in that laundry room, I still feel it watching me. Anyway, sorry if this was all over the place. Thank you for reading it, and for giving people like me a chance to have their stories heard.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Are you familiar with the roundabout in the town that we grew up in?
Yeah, they're like the one that we have. Is it just one?
The only one I know about is the one that was over by that market the side of the fairgrounds the side of the town where the fairgrounds was.
That's what I was thinking of.
I remember they spent a stupid amount of money putting that thing in. I remember rumors about like $1 million, but I don't think that's what it was. But it was really expensive. And I remember the first time I went through it, I was going too fast and I didn't really expect the velocity to hit me so hard. And I was scared to pull out of it because like the momentum I built up going around was so fast. I had to really slow down before I got out of it. And I almost peeled out. But I don't like roundabouts. I don't get it.
Really? I like them. I feel like they're really efficient when the drivers know how to use them. So like in Europe, obviously, people are used to them and they work really well. And then occasionally you have in Berkeley, a bunch of roundabouts, and it beats having a 4-way stop if people know how to use them.
Yeah, we have quite a few in our town for some reason. And I don't know. I just, they make me nervous. They just make me nervous.
I get it. I get it. Especially like the interconnecting ones, like the roundabouts that connect to other roundabouts. Those ones.
Oh, my God. That's a no-no from me. That's a knee no-no.
Yeah.
So I'm already scared of roundabouts. Well, not really scared. I just don't like them. But getting stuck in one forever is kind of a nightmare. But this story is interesting because we've had stories about missing time and we've read stories about missing time that usually are related to alien abductions or encounters or UFO sightings. And they're like, I think I got abducted, and they have hours of missing time. They don't remember anything that happened. They have no idea what happened. Well, maybe this guy experienced what we know as missing time, and it has nothing to do with aliens or abductions. It's really just like a glitch in the Matrix, just one of many that we talk about on the show. And instead of not knowing what happened, he remembers everything that happened in his missing time scenario, because it was like 2 hours or more. I can't quite remember. Yeah, it was like 2 hours. And he remembers everything that happened, but he was stuck in a loop. It's like he just disappeared and time stopped. There was nobody else there. It's like he went into this vortex. And I'm wondering if this is what missing time is, and he just happens to remember it.
I mean, I want to see what that gas tank looks like, the before and after, because that's interesting for 2 hours.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a thought.
Some physical evidence.
You know how we used to like go out to like San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, and all that, speaking of roundabouts like and everything?
Good old days, yeah.
So I was so used to 80 west, always go west if I'm going to the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah.
So I was having one hell of a brain fart one time. I was with our buddy, and we're trying to get from San Francisco to Oakland. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to the Bay Area. I'm going to take 80 West. Yeah. But we were already in San Francisco, so I kept going deeper and deeper in the wrong direction. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm taking 80 West. I'm going to Oakland, right? I passed Oakland, and I'm going to the Bay Area. It just, I don't know how that happened, like what screw got loose there. But I took that exit at least twice before it kind of dawned on me. And the frustrating thing is, our friend, I even asked him, like, I'm not tripping, right? Like, I'm taking the right exit. I'm going 80 West, right? He's like, yeah. But as you know, like, he didn't drive. He was just probably smiling and nodding. He was embarrassed just to say that he didn't know.
Yeah,
that's my story about roundabouts, or like taking the exit you think you're supposed to take.
Yeah, what's even more confusing is, that's Interstate 80 that you want to take, Interstate 80 West. Where I'm from, there's not only Interstate 80 East and West, there's also Business 80 East and West. And that I did the same exact thing. I ended up in Roseville.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Galleria?
No, it was the middle of the night. I don't remember what I was trying to get. But I got confused. I went on Business 80 instead of Interstate 80. And Man, California highways are so simple, yet so confusing at the same time. It's like they're so simple between that huge stretch of Northern California and Southern California and the Bay Area. There's just like 99 and 5. It's nice. Mm-hmm. But then once you get into the cities, the highways are a mess. LA, I'll never drive there again, ever in my life.
Yeah, no, I don't blame it. I don't really care for going down there too much, just because for that same reason, just the traffic, it's overwhelming. But I do like some spots, down in Southern California for sure. I just want a train system in America. Why can't we have a proper like year rail system?
Oh,
I would kill for that. Not literally, but pretty close.
I'd beat somebody to a pulp for that.
I'd beat somebody's head off for a few trains.
Kick the head off.
Yeah.
Yeah, roundabouts already feel disorienting. To be stuck in one and keep taking the exit, oh my God, I can only imagine how angry this person was. They were talking about like screaming in the car. Like, dude, I've had some outbursts in the car. I'm so embarrassed about how angry I've gotten before. I can only imagine.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times with you. I can only imagine how you might get by yourself in the comfort of your own presence.
Oh, man. I would be shipped to a different planet if people heard the shit I was saying in the car.
Tiki-yak, off you go.
I'm just mean. I get really mean and I say really mean things.
I think behind the wheel, it's like anything goes, but then you have to kind of like bless and cleanse yourself and try to free your spirit of that. But in the moment, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm human. I always feel the shame afterwards and I get mad at myself and I'll never do that again. I need to be stoic, but You know.
It's so weird because it's like, wow, where the hell did that come from? That's not me. Like, that's what scares. That's so scary.
Yes. That's what makes me believe in possession, because it's so easy for that to happen. It's like, that's not me. I'm not like that. And it happens to me, man. It's weird.
Rather unfortunate, Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah, the mounting emotion in this story is definitely relatable. I've been there and I can totally understand it. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much more else to say to that. Driving is kind of a weird thing given like my recent accident. So it's also creepy. What if I was possessed and maybe like the semi, just it was like a maximum overdrive.
Maximum overdrive.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
It's funny, growing up, that movie sounded stupid to me. It's such a dumb premise. I was like, oh, that sounds just like something I would not be interested in. But then I watched it. I was like, oh, this is actually kind of interesting and fun. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's silly.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was actually, that's a lie. I did not like it a lot, but I enjoyed it. I'll say that much. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this would piss me off, but how about this punk rock ghost? Would this bother you? It didn't seem like it was anything malevolent, right?
Yeah, he was just chilling, pacing around, having a cigarette and living his life. Hopefully he wasn't stressed out. Don't know what he could have been doing there. We can only really theorize, I guess. We don't really have anything to go off of, so.
I know, yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know.
But, you know, the sinking dreams is always interesting to me, because I am still of the mind that dreams are not just things that happen in our heads. I think that we're actually, our souls are transporting to a dream realm, to a different realm. I think that we're traveling.
So we're going, we're not receiving.
Yeah. I think that we're actually, I don't think it's just like thoughts in our head. I don't think we're just making dreams in our head. I think we're leaving our bodies.
Oh, gotcha.
The dream sinking makes sense to me, because we end up in these same similar, and let's bring this word back, let's make this word happen, liminal spaces. You know, under stress, you have intense dreams, vivid dreams. And in fact, I'm having a lot of crazy, awful nightmares lately, because we're having construction done on our home, we're having the bathroom remodeled, and it's in shambles. And the dogs can't go through their dog door to go out, so I have to wake up in the middle of the night to take them out. I'm not getting any sleep. It's been extremely loud in the house. And so that's all just been really stressing me out. And I'm not getting, I'm getting these half sleep sessions where I'm like half asleep for a while and then I wake up. And that's like prime dream time. So I'm having stress dreams nonstop. Oof. And so I found this story to be really interesting. And sharing dreams is very cool. I want to explore more into this. I want to find a book or something and learn as much as I can about that.
There are a good handful of those out there. I think I sent you like a Kindle link. But yeah, I have a good handful of like dream interpretation and all that. A really good starter would be Freud, believe it or not.
I need to read more Freud. I definitely do.
It is interesting stuff. It is like really accessible and at least a good foundation to understand like all the references and all that. But
But it was nice to contrast this weird dream story with something grounded in reality, in a sense, because I still think Bigfoot is a real thing. It was cool to have a Bigfoot story. I actually have a few of those on the back burner that I want to share on the podcast, so I'll try and drop one of those per episode moving forward. But I like them. This one was a fun one.
Yeah, they're always really cool. I think it's interesting because it could always be anything, really, when it comes to Bigfoot. As far as a creature in the woods, we never really know like what sort of species or subspecies.
Yeah, it could be anything. I did find it interesting that they didn't reference what they were doing specifically, or why they were doing what they were doing, rather, with the tree knocking and the whooping calls and the whistling. It's kind of cryptic at first until you realize like, oh, okay, no, these are ways that people try to communicate with Bigfoot. That's what this author was actually doing. And it seemed to work.
Yeah, he didn't just outright just put it in your lap. Hey, check this out. I'm going to talk to Bigfoot and this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like the teaser leading up into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It also kind of reminded me of the Sierra sounds that we've talked about with the whole roaring and the callback and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff, it's interesting, but it's also a bit creepy.
It's all really, really unsettling. Like even like whale noises, like it kind of creeps me out. Some people find it like lovely and comforting. I do not.
What the hell? Yeah. Dude, Free Willy freaked me the fuck out when I was a kid, man.
Yeah.
I did kind of have a crush on that on the trainer girl.
That's kind of what I was going to say. Yeah.
The whale trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know. So I think she was Tank Girl. I think that's why.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's some redeeming qualities in every movie, I would say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Hocking Hills a hotspot for cryptid activity? I don't know. I've heard that it's pretty populated. It would be strange for a cryptid to be, you know, hanging out in such a busy place. But hey, maybe Bigfoot is phasing in and out of reality. I know that's a theory that goes around that people talk about, how like Bigfoot's not necessarily an animal, but he's kind of like an interdimensional species that phases in and out. So maybe he's just like dropping in Hocking Hills. He's like, I'm going to communicate with some of these weirdos out here.
I just want to know who made him and why. Like, where does he go to when he's
done? Yeah. What's the purpose, man?
Where's his final destination? Where does he like lay his head down at night?
Yeah.
The world may never know.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to know, though, is that humming dude
in
the graveyard. What? It's so rare these days for a story to actually to like unsettle me just a little bit and kind of like raise an eyebrow and shift my seat a bit. That one did it. That was a good one. Hats off. Hats off to you, Wise Effect.
Yeah, and nothing happened in it.
Like, right, right.
I think that my brain is so fried from all my years of being obsessed with David Lynch and that whole surrealist horror imagery that when I read a story like this, it plays out in my head like a David Lynch horror scene. There's just something uncanny and liminal. I'm just going to keep using those words, man.
you know what that makes me think of? Kind of had like a weird sort of vibe to it. Not exactly David Lynch, but still just kind of like, what? Was it The Menu? Did you see that one?
Oh my God, that one's on my list. I have it literally on my Plex drive. I need to watch that.
Loved it. Loved it. And it's rare for me these days to really get that excited, but I loved it. And I'm so mad it took me this long to see it.
Hey man, your recommendations have been great. We're still on season 3 of Righteous Gemstones, taking our time with it and enjoying it. That was a great recommendation. So
nice.
I trust you, man.
Sweet.
But getting back to this story, the imagery that I was creating in my head is very Lynchian, very weird, and just absurd, just absurdist horror.
Exactly, yeah.
Some guy, like, it's the middle of the night, and some guy is just walking past a cemetery in a suit, humming to himself, and then there's this creepy woman that's just standing and staring at them through the gate. It's all just so weird. I loved this story. Even though nothing happened, there's no real story to it.
Mm-hmm.
This just scared me more than most of the stories on the podcast. I want the listeners, please let us know in the comments or in any feedback you can.
Are we wrong here? Like, are we making this up, or is this really like that good?
Exactly. Let me know if you guys think this was good. I thought this was one of the best stories on the podcast.
I know. We're probably doing some like highbrow, snobbish, like art critique. People are like, are you guys trolling us right now?
No, I swear to God, I'm not. I got genuinely spooked. Yeah. I got so spooked that I was like, you know what? I might give horror a chance as far as reading goes, because I don't read horror.
Man.
You and I never really do. We mostly just read, we've talked about this, nonfiction stuff.
I've got some good ones for you.
I think I might give horror a chance because this really scared me.
Yeah. So we're actually running on midnight oil. So I do want to touch on Meg's story real quick. Meg, egg, how do you say that? Meg, whatever. Your predictive crazy animal dream, that sloth porcupine thing. Super creepy. Thank you for sending in that picture.
Oh, man, it's claws. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's a creepy little thing. I'll put it on our Instagram so everybody else can see it.
Okay.
Yeah, really cool. Thanks for sending that in. I have no idea what to really make of the dream, if it were like some sort of foreshadowing or like a warning. I don't know why that thing specifically, of all creatures, you would dream of, like, what could it possibly represent? I am completely stumped. And usually, like, I like to think I'm pretty good at making some sort of sense out of a dream, but I can't think of what sort of foreshadowing or what sort of like meaning this really has. Like, what do you got?
Yeah, I think it was just a predictive dream.
But like, why? You know, just for the sake of it?
I know. I don't know the reason. You know, why did I have my first deja vu experience on the play place at McDonald's? And that's been something that stuck with me forever. I don't know.
Fair.
But yeah, it's not unheard of to have these type of psychic dreams. It's just usually they have to do with predicting someone's death or preventing something bad from happening.
Mm-hmm.
This was just so off the wall, man.
Maybe at the end of the day was just like a nudge for her to lean into her intuitive side, you know, just doesn't have to make sense. It was just like a, hey, check this out.
And yeah,
that's it. Now the adventure really continue to explore.
Yeah, I like that one. I definitely like that one. And yeah, if anyone else has any stories they want to hear on the show, send them to stories@oddtrails.com and we'll feature them on the show. Thanks for listening. Make sure to sign up for our Patreon for ad-free versions of our episodes at patreon.com/oddtrails and check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radiocast. We'll see you guys next week. Everybody, stay safe.
Peace out.
Disturb you, darling.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.